Hello, everybody. I want to start the message today by repeating some of what I've been saying for the last few weeks. This is not about me being lazy and not writing a new message, but actually it's a reminder of some really important facts that I believe we need to know right now. Things that we need to have impressed on our spirits. Things that we need to keep repeating to ourselves. Now, what are these things? Well, the first is this. Advent is a time that helps us to remember and celebrate the amazing truth of John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Let's read those now. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In the birth of Jesus, God declares that you and I are worth something significant to him. Father God declares his love for us and his willingness to save us from our sin. God loves you and me so much that he was willing to be incarnated, to come to earth so that he could save us from our sin. He came to rescue us. And when we place our trust in Jesus, we are saved. Now, woven throughout the pages of the Old Testament are prophetic promises that the Messiah would come. The promise that his incarnation would take place. Advent for us is the time of waiting when we should take the opportunity to reflect on who Christ is and what he means to us. And because of that, today I want us to look at how Christ is the perfect fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. The promise of the Messiah, the Saviour, has been fulfilled. These messianic prophecies, the prophecies about Jesus from the Old Testament, were made hundreds, even thousands of years before Jesus was even born. And how many references to Christ do you think there are in the Old Testament? The answer to this question is quite staggering. From Genesis to Malachi, there are over 300 specific prophecies detailing the coming of this anointed one. 700 to 750 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit." The stump of Jesse is King David, for Jesse was David's father. The fulfillment of that prophecy is found in Matthew 1, verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now listen also to the words of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Again, around 700 years before Jesus was born, here the prophet Micah prophesies exactly where the Messiah would be born. Micah also makes reference to the eternal nature of Christ's existence, a ruler whose origins are in the distant past. In the distant past, Jesus, the Son of God, part of the eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, existed before he came to earth as a baby in Bethlehem. Indeed, he has always existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was there before the beginning of our time, before creation, and he will be there forever. Remember, God also declared through Isaiah, this time in chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." This prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, which says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, I don't know about you and what you feel about these things, but I find them really exciting. I mean, isn't the word of God amazing? When God says something, you can absolutely bank on it. It will happen, and it will happen exactly the way he said it would. Let me give you another example of a fulfilled prophecy. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Then let's read together how it happened in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And these are just a few examples from the 300 plus prophecies from the Old Testament fulfilled by Jesus. Now, you know, I'd love to go through them all today. But if I did, I think you'd probably complain or just stop listening. But they are fascinating. These promises are amazing and they're staggering. So instead of looking at all of them, let's look at a few of the headlines. As we've already heard, Jesus would be born to a virgin. His birth would be in Bethlehem. He would be from the tribe of Judah. His lineage would be from King David. But there's more. The Old Testament prophecies tell us about his sinless life and his atoning work for the sins of his people, as well as his death and resurrection. Isn't it great to know that all of these prophecies were recorded in the Old Testament long before Jesus Christ actually fulfilled them? As we continue now, I want us to consider Psalm 22, which is another prophetic picture, this time at the death of Christ for our sins. As I read Psalm 22 with you, it's important to remember it was written by King David about 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, let alone his crucifixion. Psalm 22 is incredibly accurate about what would happen to Jesus 1,000 years or so later. It tells us that the Messiah's bones will not be broken, that his hands and feet will be pierced, that men will cast lots for his clothes. Do you know, even the words of Jesus on the cross, recorded in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," are the same words as Psalm 22, verse 1. So listen, or read along from the New Living Translation if you have it. Psalm 22 says, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their head, saying, 'Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him.' Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like sunbaked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. you have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among the assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honour him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfil my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him, for royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told by those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. Oh, do you hear these words? This is a powerful prophetic picture of the suffering of our Lord and Saviour, with accurate details only God could know 1,000 years in advance. In verses 19 to 21, the reference to the resurrection of Christ is there. This prayer for deliverance from the lion's mouth, which is a picture of Satan. Then in verses 22 to 24, a song of praise and thanksgiving to Father God for hearing the prayer and delivering him. Now, if you have an opportunity, could I encourage you to spend some time reading Isaiah 53, maybe even later today? Isaiah 53 is another prophecy written around 700 to 750 years before Jesus was born. Yet again, there are many prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus. His death for the sins of his people, his rejection by them, his silence in front of his accusers, his burial in a rich man's grave. All of these things you'll find there. Because of his suffering, because of what Jesus endured for you and for me, he's made it possible for us to be counted as righteous. He has carried the punishment for our sins. Oh, church, in this season of Advent, we can remember that Christ has come and he has fulfilled all of the prophecies written about him in the Old Testament. He was born, he lived, he died, and on the third day he rose triumphant from the grave, having conquered the power of sin and death. Jesus was and is the Son of God. He was fully aware of all the prophecies about him. He was fully aware of what would happen to him. He knew what he would have to experience and endure, and he did it so that prophecy would be fulfilled and so that you and I could be saved. Knowing what he would face, Jesus went to the cross for us. He carried the weight of the sins of everyone who would ever trust in him as Lord and Saviour. He carried them to that cross. The weight of sin was so great, so terrible, that for the only time ever, God the Father turned his face away from his Son. Jesus dealt with all of our sin, all of the guilt, all of our shame in full. At the cross, Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the old covenant and established a new covenant in his blood and his body. Oh, folks, Jesus extends his hand to you and to me and to everyone. He has fulfilled everything that was necessary for every one of us to be saved. But God does not force himself upon us. We can choose to accept him or refuse him. We can choose to reject him. But as many of us have already found, if you invite Jesus into your life, he will become your protector, your provider, your guide, your Lord, and your Saviour. By grace we are saved. God offers each and every one of us forgiveness and salvation. But you have to accept it. You have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Saviour so that you can benefit from all he has done. You see, Jesus really is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus is the promised Messiah. Every aspect of his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection were prophesied years before they actually happened. In this season of Advent, even as we now approach Christmas Day, the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, let us remember and let us remind ourselves that we should love him as Lord and trust him as Saviour. We should remember that he came to earth, the baby we remember at Christmas. But remember too that it is him who has paid the price for our sin, has paid the price for all of us. Remember that his birth, his life, his death and resurrection prove the Father's great love for us. And in all of this, remember too that Jesus will return again soon, that his second advent is going to happen. We don't know when it will be, but we must be ready. Folks, the greatest Christmas gift ever has been given, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Cling to him. Cling to him.